Boker Tov.
Shalom Lechem.
Today we turn to lesson 15 and we learn about the PL stem, which we've already encountered. Now we learn about it formally. And it has a passive form that's called the Pu'al. So at the top of the page there we have Hillel. Hillel, he praised. There's a dagesh in the middle letter of the root, and that will be true for all verbs in the PL. And that there is a third masculine singular perfective PL, he praised. And then below that is hulal. Hulal. So again has the dagesh in the middle letter. The vowel pattern has changed from hirek Sere to kibbutz, patach, hulal, and that makes it passive. He was praised. Then the right-hand column, halel. Halel, that's the PL infinitive, and mahulal. Mahulal is a pu'al participle. And we've seen before that participles can be formed with a mem. That will be true for participles in the PL and the Pu'al. So section one. In earlier lessons and reading passages, we've already seen a variety of PL forms. So we've seen Genesis 24:15, Terem Kila Ludaber, Terem Kila Ludaber. Terem is before, Kila there is a PL, he had finished Ludaber, an infinitive with a lamed, before he had finished to speak. And we would turn that last into a gerund, before he had finished speaking. Genesis 43:5, V'im enecha mushaleach, V'im enecha mushaleach. This is the sons talking to Jacob, saying it's about time we went back down to Egypt. Im, if, take the vav on the front of that as but if, enaka, ein, there is not, and ka, second masculine singular pronominal suffix, if there is not to you, mushaleach is a PL participle. So notice the mem on the front and the dagesh in the lamed, the middle letter. If there is not to you ascending, or one who is sent, i.e. if you do not send. Deuteronomy 5:12, Shamor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Shamor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Shamor, guard or keep or observe et yom shabbat, the Sabbath day. L'kadsho, there is a PL infinitive with a third masculine singular pronominal suffix to keep it holy, to sanctify it. 1 Kings 13:9, Kichen tziva oti, Kichen tziva oti, ki, for, because, chen, thus, or in this way, Tziva, that's a PL, dagesh in the vav there functioning as a consonant, so it's a double W, as it were. For thus he commanded me. So this is a story of the man of God who went to Bethel. A couple of verses later, Vayisaper lo, Vayisaper lo. And he told him, he recounted to him, Vayisaper, continuing narrative form in the PL. And then verse 18, Kichesh lo, Kichesh lo. Now in Kichesh, there's no dagesh in the middle letter, it's a guttural, chet, cannot take a dagesh, but we have the typical PL vowel pattern to help us identify that as a PL, hirek tsere. So he lied to him. And finally, Proverbs 17:5, Lo'eg, Larash, Cheref, Osehu. Lo'eg, Larash, Cheref, Osehu. The one sneering at a poor man insults the one who made him. So Osehu there, Ose, that's the kal participle of Asa, one who makes. Third masculine singular suffix on that. Okay, now note, Hillel, he praised, Hallelu is a masculine plural imperative praise, and Hillalti, I praised. In third person singular of the perfective, the most common vowel pointing of the PL is IE, so Hirek Tsere. For example, Bikesh, Bikesh, he sought, Shiber, Shiber, he shattered, Shiel, Shiel, he begged. When the second letter is one that can be strong or doubled, it is usually marked with a dagesh in PL forms. So that will be true for everything except the gutturals. So Aleph, Ayin, Chet, also a resh cannot take a dagesh. Hillel, he praised, but sometimes when the second root letter has a shava, the dagesh is not used. And this Hillel is the one that this usually happens with. So for the imperative Hallelu, don't put a dagesh in the middle letter. But that's just sort of an oddity. Otherwise, you'd end up almost with too many lamads in a row. But the PL examples we have seen above indicate that other vowel patterns may be found. For example, so Hirek Patach, Hirek Segol, Hirek Kamatz, and a double Tsere, like we had the Cheref in Proverbs 17:5. So, for example, Shilach, he sent, Limad, Limad, he taught, Mehar, he hurried, Deber, he spoke, Kiper, he atoned, Kilah, he finished, Tziva, he commanded, Me'ein, he refused, and Cheref, he scorned, or insults, as it was translated there in Proverbs 17:5. Note that in PL perfective forms, it's only the third person masculine singular that has tsere as the second vowel. Other forms have patach. So in third masculine singular, it would be Hillel, but in first singular, it's Hillalti. Hillalti, I praised. Or if there's a shavad there, as it would be in the third plural, Hillelu. Hillelu, they praised. We have Shibarnu, Shibarnu, we shattered, and Shibara, Shibara, she shattered, third feminine singular. Apart from the perfective, the first vowel in the PL forms is usually a patach. Shibara, she shattered, and we compare that with Shiber, he shattered, so third feminine singular and third masculine singular, and then for the imperfective, we have Tushaber. Tushaber, she will shatter. So where, and Yishaber, he will shatter. So these are imperfective, third feminine singular, third masculine singular. Shaber, Shaber, the infinitive, and Mushaber, Mushaber, the participle, shattering. And for all those, the vowel under the first root letter is a patach for everything except the perfective. Okay, section 2. We have Shiber, he shattered, third masculine singular perfective. Lamad, he taught. Shiel, he begged. Deber, he spoke. And Romem, he raised. So all of those have slightly different vowel patterns. All except the last have a hirek for the first vowel, the last one being a guttural is different. In the PL verbs, in the third singular masculine of the perfective, the vowels most commonly are hirek tsere, as we've seen. So, for example, sheber, he shattered, redef, he pursued. In some PL verbs, the vowels are commonly hirek pata. So, example, limad, he taught, and ibad, he destroyed. So, for example, Ecclesiastes 12, limad da'at et ha'am. Limad da'at et ha'am. So, limad, he taught, da'at. Da'at is from yada, he knows. So, da'at is infinitive construct. He taught knowledge et ha'am to the people. However, at the end of a sentence, in a pausal form, tsere may be found instead of the patach. So short A lengthens to a long E. For example, earlier in Ecclesiastes 9:15, u milat hu et ha'ir, u milat hu et ha'ir, and he saved the city, malat. So there, that's early on in the sentence, and the vowel pattern is hirek patach. But in Ezekiel 33:5, vahu nizhar nafsho milat, vahu nizhar nafsho milat, and he, and then nizhar is a nifal participle, warned. So his being warned, nafsho milat, would have saved his life. So milat there, being the last word of the verse, is in pausal form, and the patach has lengthened to a sere. Thirdly, some PL verbs have the vowels hirek sagol. So for example, deber, he spoke, that's a common one, and keper, he atoned. So Genesis 12:4, the Lord's first speaking to Abram, ka'asher deber eliv Adonai, ka'asher deber eliv Adonai, ka'asher, just as the Lord had spoken to him. And deber we see quite often like that. Leviticus 4:20, v'kiper alehem ha-kohen, v'kiper alehem ha-kohen. Kiper, he covers, but then this context with the meaning of covering for sin, meaning atoning. Ha-kohen is the priest. So the priest covers or atones alehem for them. So he covers over them, atones for them. In Leviticus 13:6, v'kibes begadiv, v'kibes begadiv, and he will wash begadiv, his garments, his clothes. So that's the third vowel pattern, hirek segol. Fourthly, when the middle letter of the verb stem is a guttural or resh, it cannot have the dagesh 40, which normally is a mark of the PL forms. With any other letter, for example, shilach, you do have a dagesh in there, shilach, he sent away, but she'el, he begged, so acting as a beggar. The call of that sha'al is to ask, here she'el, bit of an intensive form, can't put a dagesh in an aleph. In many PL forms, where the middle letter is guttural, the first vowel is tsere, which means you often end up with a double tsere. So, for example, me'en, he refused, geresh, he repulsed, drove away, expelled, berach, he blessed, and cheref, he reproached, he insulted, that one that we saw from Proverbs. So that's a fourth vowel pattern. Fifth vowel pattern, when a verb has only two root consonants, the second may be repeated in PL forms. So I think I talked about this last week, or the week before, where we have two root consonants. The example given here is Ram. He was high. Sometimes in the kal you'll find it will have a vav in the middle, and that we call that a hollow verb. when this vav, because the vav readily disappears and leaves nothing there. And then we'll get at times this second letter repeated, and this is called, we call these verbs a geminate, from Gemini, the twins. So these two letters are twinned. So sometimes you'll find it with just a single letter, sometimes it'll be doubled. So compare Ram, he was high, that's the Kal, with Romaim, he raised, i.e. he put on high, put something into a state of being on high. And such forms are sometimes called Polel. So in this case, the PL of this we call Polel, to show that that Lamed is that letter is repeated. Note that Kam, he got up, has both a PL and a Polel form. So there's Kiyem. Kiyem, that would be the PL form maintaining a middle yod, and Komeim, Komeim. So Psalm 119:28, Kayameni, strengthen me, there as a PL with a dagesh in the yod. And later in verse 106, Nishbati v'akayema, Nishbati v'akayema, Nishbati, I made an oath, I swore, v'akayema, and I confirmed. So another PL form with a middle yod, with a dagesh. Or in Micah 2:8, L'oyev yukomeim, L'oyev yukomeim. There we have the polel form, yukomeim. He rises up, L'oyev, as an enemy, to be an enemy. In a few verbs with two root letters, we find both repeated in the PL. So for cool, to contain, we have kal, he contained, so that's the kal form, and then kilkel, he provided food. And these, where both letters are repeated, we then call pilpel form. So remember, the names for all of these stems are all taken off of the verb pa'al. So you would never actually find a verb pilpel, but it's taking it from here, saying, okay, we've got this letter, and we've got this letter, and then they're both repeated. So that's why these verbs have these odd names. These stems have these odd names. So in 1 Kings 17:4, the story of Elijah at the brook Kerit, Ve'et ha'oravim, Tziviti le kalkelcha sham. Ve'et ha'oravim tziviti le kalkelcha sham. And the ravens, the oravim tziviti, I have commanded le kalkelcha to provision you, to supply you, to feed you sham there. So those are the various forms that the PL can take. So the first one, the most common, the vowel pattern Hirek Tseri. Then we can have Hirek Patach, Hirek Tsegol. Fourthly, for guttural letters where the middle letter is a guttural, the first vowel is a Tseri. So often you end up with the vowel pattern Tseri Tseri. And then the fifth category for these that have only these verbs that have only two root consonants, you can get either polel forms or pilpel forms. What then does the PL mean? What does this stem, what nuance does this stem have? That's covered in section 3. PL forms express action and involvement. The types of action are so varied that we cannot fit PL verbs into any rigid system of classification. For example, when gedel means he made great, we might call it factative, i.e. that's to put something into the fact of being great, put it into that state. But when it means he praised, we might call it declarative. And there you're essentially declaring that somebody is great. When we compare kal and pl meanings of verbs, it becomes clear that pl verbs often put emphasis on what their action produces, so the state that something ends up in. So gadal in the kal just means to be great, whereas gedel in the pl means that something is done with the end result that it is great. So that many PL verbs can be called factative or resultative. So compare male. Male, he was full. And that's a stative, just declaring what something is. That's the kal. With mille. Mille, the PL. Notice the dagesh and the lamed, the middle letter, and the hirek tsere vowel pattern. He filled, which is factative, i.e. put something into the state of being full. When a kal verb expresses a state or situation, the PL usually expresses an action that brings about that state. Compare lamad, he learned, to do something with limad. Limad, so lamad the kal, limad the PL. He taught, i.e. he put somebody into a state of having learned it. When a kal expresses an action that does not directly affect an object, i.e. it is intransitive, like lamad, he learned, intransitive verb, the PL usually expresses action that produces a situation or ability related to the action of the kal. So limad, he taught, to expresses an action which produces learned knowledge or ability to do something. And thirdly, compare shavar. Shavar, he broke, that's the kal, with shiber. Shaber, he broke into pieces, which is resultative. Something happened so that it ended up broken. When a kal expresses an action which directly affects an object that is transitive, the PL often gives emphasis to the result of the action. So shavar indicates an action of breaking. The kal, shaber, the PL gives emphasis to the result that the breaking produces something that is broken in pieces. Note also shalach. Shalach, he sent, the kal, often used of sending someone who will return, and shilach. Shilach, the PL, he sent away with the result that someone is away with no expectation necessarily that they will return. You could think of that as being also resultative or factative. He did something with the result that they were in a state of being sent away. So we'll now look at some ways in which PL verbs may be grouped. Category A, when a kal verb expresses a state, PL usually expresses action that brings about such a state, i.e. it's factative. This really is, I think, if you think of this as being the default meaning of the PL, the default nuance, the most common nuance of the PL, this factative. So, male, kal, it was full, and mille, pl, he filled. He put something into a state of being full. Kadash, kadash, he was holy. And the kal and kidesh, kidesh, pl, he sanctified, i.e. he did something that resulted in a person or a thing or a place being holy. Avad, avad, he was lost or he perished. Evade, evade, the PL, he destroyed, i.e. he put something into a state of being lost or perish, or perishing. Kila, kila, it is at an end, or he finished, it is at an end, and then the PL, kila, he finished, i.e. he put it into a state of being at an end. So some examples of these. Malay, he filled. We have Genesis 24:16. Va tumale kada. Va tumale kada. And she filled her jar. So when she was done with that action, the jar was in a state of being full. So this is Rebecca at the well when Abram's servant goes to find a wife for Isaac. Kadesh, he sanctified. Genesis 2:3, Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShavi'i Vayikadesh Oto. Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShavi'i Vayikadesh Oto. And God blessed et Yom HaShavi'i, the seventh day, Vayikadesh Oto, and sanctified it, and did something to it that resulted in it being holy. Ebed, he destroyed, Ecclesiastes 9:18, V'hote echad ye'abed tova harbe. V'hote echad ye'abed tova harbe. Hote is a kal participle, masculine singular, from chata, to sin, so one who sins, and with echad really functioning almost as a indefinite article, one sinner destroys tova harbe, much good, tova, good. So he puts it into a state of being lost. Kila, he finished. Exodus 40:33, Vayikal Moshe et ha malacha, Vayikal Moshe et ha malacha. Moses had finished the work, so continuing narrative form of that. And then Genesis 24:15, here we are back to Rebecca, at the well, Terem Kila Ledaber. Terem Kila Ledaber, before he had finished speaking.
Exodus
40, Kila,
when now it becomes a
There's no Dagesh there, and this one is, it's a bit irregular, it's a third hey verb. And the hay is dropped off, and you couldn't put a dagesh in the lamed because you can't end a word with a dagesh. So
it doesn't have that pattern.
It doesn't have that pattern, and he hasn't covered it as to what happens in a third hay verb. They are covered on page 357. Make you aware of these charts that are at the back of the book. In the reference grammar. So this is what old grammar books would have been like. You would have had to memorize all these charts. So the chart on page 350... Well, let me start. The chart on 354, 355 is for strong verbs. And going across the top, we have the kal, nifal, piel, pual, hifil, hofal, and hitpayal, and then it gives the morphology for the perfective, the imperfective, continuing narrative, imperative, infinitive, and so on, all the way down. Using as the prototype verb, katal. On page 356, 357, here we have third hey verbs, so where the third root letter is a hey. Or it calls it lamed hey verbs, because in this pa'al pattern, the lamed letter, i.e. the third letter, is a hey. For a lot of them, the hey disappears. So there, we're looking at a continuing narrative form of the verb, which here is abbreviated as a va-pc, at the top of page 357. And in a few lessons' time, you'll learn why that's abbreviated there as a va-pc. If you use accordance, you'll have seen that as an abbreviation.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Right. Well, we'll find that out in a few lessons. In the PL, we have vayigal. That's for the verb gala. So the third hay has disappeared, and there's no dagesh there. Then carries on with other charts for other things. So page 360, we have geminate verbs. Top of page 177... Where a kal verb is intransitive, PL is usually transitive. So remember the difference between transitive and intransitive verbs? Transitive verbs take an object, intransitive don't. PL is usually transitive and expresses action that brings something about, i.e. it's factative, again. So I'll compare lamad, he learned, with limad, he taught. So lamad doesn't take an object. Limad does take an object. He taught somebody or something. Karav, he came near. That would be intransitive. Kerev, he brought near, or he joined. He brought two things near to each other so that they joined. And those, that would be transitive. And kerev, notice that vowel pattern. Middle letter is a resh, so you can't put a dagesh in it. So the first vowel is a tsere, and in this case, the second vowel is also a tsere. Yashav, he sat. That's intransitive. And in the PL, yeshev, he set up, i.e. he put something into a state of sitting or being put somewhere, set it up. And that would be transitive. So, for example, limad, he taught, 2 Chronicles 17:9, vayilamadu behuda, and they taught in Judah. Psalm 143:10, limadenu laasot ritzonecha, lamadeni laasot ritzonecha. So lamadeni, teach me. So the PL there being used transitively. Laasot, lamad with an infinitive. So this is the purpose, to do. Ritzonecha, ritzon is something that is pleasing. And then the ka is second masculine singular, pleasing to you. Teach me to do what pleases you.
So that's the first lamad.
Mm-hmm. Vayilamadu. Vayilamadu behuda, that is a continuing narrative from the verb.
The Psalm
143. Oh, the lamadeni. It is a imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Then kerev, he brought near, he joined. We have Psalm 65:5. Ashrei tivchar u tukarev. Ashrei tivchar u tukarev. Blessed is, or happy is, tivchar, the one you choose. Bahar is to choose. And we have to understand that the person or the one isn't actually in the text. Blessed, someone understood, tivchar, you choose. Utukarev, and you bring near. So there are two words in Hebrew that can be translated blessed. So barak, the Lord blesses, and baruch is actually a kal passive participle of that, meaning blessed. And then ashrei, as we have here, this is blessed, like in Psalm 1, blessed is the person. And this means that you're living life in such a way that your life is going forward, and people will say that's the way that life is to be lived.
Are the words interchangeable?
They're not really interchangeable. You use them in different ways. So you will say to the Lord, you will say, blessed is the Lord. You would never say, use ashrei of the Lord. In pronouncing, saying baruch to somebody, basically you're invoking God's blessing upon them. In saying that that person is ashrei, you're saying, you really are saying that that person is under the Lord's blessing, that his life is moving ahead in a blessed state, is heading the way that it ought to be heading. And then that carries over into Greek. Greek has the same distinction. So when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on, in the Beatitudes, he's using the Greek equivalent of this word, this ashrei. Yeshev, he set up in Ezekiel 25:4, Vayeshvu tirotehem, Vayeshvu tirotehem, Vayeshvu, and they will set up their tents. So they will put them into a state of being established, being in place. If you can imagine a tent sort of sitting there. They put it in a state that it is sitting there. Third area of usage of PL is where a call verb expresses an action. PL may focus on the result of the action. So this is, we can call resultative. You'll see how this is really is somewhat similar to the factative. It's put something into a state of being somehow. Shavar, he broke, and the PL, Shaber, he broke in pieces or he shattered. So sometimes this gets thought of as being an intensive, and that's how actually older grammars would have taught it, but it's really, the focus is on that it's, you've done something to this, so it ends up in a state of being broken in pieces. So it's really resultative. Shalach, he sent, and it's PL. Shilach, he sent away. So you do something with the result that he is in a state of being sent, of being gone. Paras, he broke, he spread out, and Peres, the PL, he spread out. So that he acts in such a way that he is then in a state of being with the result that he's spread out, spread. And notice the vowel pattern there. Middle letter is resh, can't have a dagesh. So the first letter is a, first vowel is a tsere, and then in this case also the second. So illustrations of these for Sheber or Shebar, meaning he broke, he shattered. Lamentations 3:4, Shebar Atzmotayv, Shebar Atzmotay, he broke my bones. Etzem is bone, Atzmot, bones plural. Shilach, he sent away, he expelled. Genesis 3:23, Vayishalachehu, Megan Eden, Vayishalachehu, Megan Eden. Then he expelled him, referring to Adam, so God expelled Adam from the Garden of Eden. Shilach et Ha'am, Shilach et Ha'am, 1 Kings 8:66, he sent the people away. And in both cases, so when God expelled Adam from the Garden of Eden, it wasn't, he didn't just send him on a message, on an errand that he would then come back. He sent him, he was out of the garden for good without that expectation of coming back. And the same for 1 Kings 8:66, this is Solomon, right after his prayer of dedication of the temple, everybody gathered in Jerusalem for that, and he sent them all home after that. Pares, he spread out. Isaiah 65:2, Perasti yadai kol hayom. Perasti yadai kol hayom. I spread out my hands all day. I spread out my hand all day. So I had my hands in a state of being spread out. And then Dobson has a note here, but though here a PL form may be appropriate because the result of holding the hands out was that they stayed out, it may be primarily the time indicated by all day long that fixes this sense. In Isaiah 25:11, Yifaresh ha soche, the swimmer spreads out his hands, there is no suggestion that they stay spread out. You know that there would be a PL. So that's just a little caution that grammarians still aren't entirely sure about some of these things. Fourth category, some PL verbs seem to indicate close or repetitive involvement in an action. So for example, halak, the kal, he went, and hilech, the PL, he went about, he went to and fro, which in two lessons' time we're going to see would be a regular meaning of the hitpael of the verb. Sha'al, he asked. She'el, he begged. I, as a beggar, I. So he kept on asking. He inquired. So, for example, Hilek, the PL of Halak, 1 Kings 21:27, Fayehalek at, Fayehalek at. And he went about at sadly, perhaps meekly. So it's not just he went walking in one direction on a journey. It's that he went about back and forth as he was just carrying on his daily life. Psalm 104:26, Sham oniyot yehalechun, Sham oniyot Yehalekun. Their ships on a yacht, trading ships, Yehaleku, go to and fro, so they're back and forth as they're sailing out on the sea. It's not they just, if it had been the Kal, they would just go out, and you would use that. They went out and they went on a, say, one journey down the length of the Mediterranean or something like that. This is back and forth. And the nun on the end of the Yehalekun is, I think I've mentioned this before, it's what we call a paraglottic nun. It's just put there to make the word sound better. It has no impact on the meaning. And sometimes find this when the verb ends, or when a word ends with a shurik, as it does there, is a nun is put on just for euphony. At least that's the best that anybody can figure. Sheel, he begged, he inquired. The PL, Psalm 109:10, v'shielu, and may they beg, i.e. keep on begging, not asking just once, but repeatedly. 2 Samuel 20:18, v'yish'alu, b'avail, v'yish'alu, b'avail. They should inquire, i.e. seek for an answer, keep on asking, in Abel. So, that's the fourth category, sort of an iterative, repetitive action. Okay, fifth category, actions which declare what something is. So, declarative. We have Gadal in the Kal, he was great, and in the PL, Gidel, he praised or he glorified, he declared that someone was great, and also Hillel, he praised. So, not surprisingly, we find this often in the Psalms, 34:4, Gadalu la Adonai iti, Gadalu la Adonai iti, glorify the Lord with me, so Gadalu, glorify. Declare him to be great. Magnify. The word magnify, we keep that idea of greatness in it, so the Latin word there. U neromama shmo yachdaiv. U neromama shmo yachdaiv. And let us exalt neromama. So notice that romama. That's a polel, the verb room, and the mem has been repeated, what we call reduplicated. And it's a nun on the front, so first common plural, and a comet's hay on the back for a cohortative. Let us.
This is very long. We can't see. That's such a long
word. Yep, it's a long word. So you got all that? So it's so we have a conjunction on the front, u, then a nun for first plural, a kamatse on the end for cohortative, and then the romam is it's a verb rum, but with a reduplication of the mem. We would say that's a polel stem. Let us, let me do something or let us do something. So it's sort of a bit like an imperative address to yourself is a way of thinking. It's what we call a volitional form. In the first person, it's let me do something, let us do something. Mm-hmm. Second person, you do something or just simply do. So that's a straight imperative. And then in the third person, let him do something or let there be light. Let something happen, and we call that a jussive. That's a third-person imperative. And they're all what we call volitional forms. Volitional, it has something to do with the will. Volitional. So you're not saying that something has happened. Now, you're hoping that something's happened. You're basically expressing a wish that something happened.
This is like subjunctive in Greek that we have let us.
Well, actually, no, it's not like a subjunctive. We just encountered last week the third person imperative. Remember we had in the passage we were looking at last week, and we'll carry on looking at this week. There's a whole string of third-person imperatives, ending in eto. Oh, I'll draw your attention to that tomorrow. Eto and ato are the suffixes there. Okay, Psalm 69:31, Ahalalah Shem Elohim Bashir. The Agadalehnu Batoda Ahalala Shem Elohim Bashir the Agadalehnu Batoda Ahalala. I will praise, and this too we could translate as let me praise. So halal with then an aleph on the front for first singular and kamatz hay on the back for cohortative. So let me praise. And the verb halala, so the middle letter has a shavad there, so that means there's no dagesh in it when it's followed then by the same letter after. Shem Elohim, the name of God, Bashir. Shir is song, so with a song. The Agadalenu, and I will magnify, so declare to be great, with Enu is him, third masculine singular suffix. Betoda. Toda is thanksgiving. So if you want to say thanks in Hebrew, you just say Toda. Toda. So Betoda, with thanks. Thanksgiving. Nehemiah 12:24, Lehalel Lehodot. Lehalel Lehodot. Lehalel there, PL infinitive with a lamed, and hodot infinitive of yada. So to praise, to give thanks. And Psalm 149:3, Yehalelu shmo b'machol. Yehalelu shmo b'machol. Let them praise. So Yehalelu, taken there as a jessive, so third person imperative, volitional form. Let them praise his name, b'machol, with dancing.
So this is also PL?
That is also PL.
Even though it doesn't have the dagesh?
It doesn't have a dagesh because it's got a shava under that middle letter. By far the most common one that you'll find this with is halal. But because we find, particularly in the Psalms, you find hallelujah so often, you will encounter this a lot, especially in the last five Psalms. A sixth category, actions with has to do with speaking. So deber, he spoke. Safar, we have in the kal, he counted. And then in the pl, siper, we could say he told, or he related, or he recounted. So we have even that play in English. He recounted, meaning he told a story, or he retold events. Berach, he blessed. Tzivah, he commanded. Neither of those has a kal form. Kachash, he became lean in the kal, and then in the pl, kichesh, he lied, or he told a lie. Charaf in the kal, he reproached. Cheref in the PL, he insulted, reproached. So Deber, he spoke. Job 1:16. Obviously, this is one example taken out of any because Deber is used so many hundreds and hundreds of times. Od ze medaber. Od ze medaber. So od is still. Ze, this. So this one, this man, it's masculine, so we can take it as being this man. Medaber, notice the mem on the front, so it's a participle, was speaking. Od ze medaber, still this one was speaking, a speaker. Siper, he told, 1 Kings 13:11. Here we are back at the story of the man of God and on his trip to Bethel. Vayisaperum la'avihem. Vayisaperum la'avihem. Then they told la'avihem to their father. Their father is the older prophet. So PL there. Barak, he blessed. His tfu doesn't have a kal form. Genesis 24:48. Va'avarech et Adonai. Va'avarech et Adonai. And I blessed the Lord. A common verb. Tziva, he commanded. Here we do have a dagesh in the middle letter. Kichen tziva oti. Kichen tziva oti. Ki for chen, thus he commanded me. Kichesh, he lied. 1 Kings 13:18. Back to the story of the man of God. Kichesh lo, he lied to him. No dagesh in the middle letter because it's a guttural, but we have the vowel pattern. Kirek tsere, because it's a third masculine singular, so sort of plain vanilla, no prefix, no suffix. Cheref, he insulted. 2 Kings 19:22, et mi cherafta, whom have you insulted? No dagesh there in the middle letter, because it's resh, can't take a dagesh, and there's no prefix, which means that the first vowel remains a tsere. Over the page, I think, G, page 180, there are several verbs found with a PL form that do not occur in a kal. In many instances, there is a noun that is closely related to the verb. And in quite a few of these cases, grammarians conclude that the verb has come from the noun. Usually what happens is that the verb is primary and a noun is formed from the verb. But there are categories of words where the noun came first and a verb got, and it eventually got turned into a verb. And when that happens, typically the stem, it gets turned into a PL verb. And these are what we call denominatives, denominative verbs. So afar, dusty or soil, and that's the noun, and it eventually got turned, became a verb, or spawned a verb, ipar, he spattered with dust, a PL. Cain, meaning a nest or a cubbyhole, and eventually spawned a verb. Kinain, he built a nest. Kina, zeal or jealousy, and a verb form kine, he was zealous or jealous. Shalosh, three, and its related verb shalesh, he did something a third time, or he divided into three. So in each case, a noun that is primary eventually produced a verb in the PL.
So which would you normally use? Would you say banak, cane?
Well, it depends whether you're wanting to use a noun or a verb. If your sentence calls for a noun, obviously you'd use a noun. If your sentence calls for a verb, you'd use the verb form of it. But really what the grammarians are saying is that as the language developed, it was the noun came first, and then it developed a verb off of the noun, which is the reverse of what has usually happened.
But
in
the verb to build is banan?
Well, that is a verb to build, but kinein is specifically he built a nest, so it is a verb in its own right. You wouldn't need the verb bana with it. Yes, on the nun. Yes, duplication on the nun. So, ipar, he spattered with dust, 2 Samuel 16:13. Ve'ipar be'afar. Ve'ipar be'afar. And here we have both the verb and the noun. So, we'll say the verb in its cognate accusative, which makes it quite emphatic. He spattered him with dust. Kinain, Psalm 104:17. Asher sham ziparim yukanenu. Asher sham ziparim yukanenu. Asher, relative pronoun, sham, so which there. Ziparim is one of the words for birds, where the birds build their nests, make their nests. Kine, he was zealous, Numbers 25:13. Tachat, Asher kine lelohaiv. Tachat asher kine Lelohaiv. Tahat is really under. So Tahat Asher, under which, here with the meaning really of because, Kinei Lelohaiv, he was zealous for his God. Shilesh, to do something a third time. 1 Kings 18:34, Fayomer Shileshu Vayishaleshu. Then he's Vayomer Shaleshu Vayishaleshu. So this is Elijah up on Mount Carmel, has a contest with the prophets of Baal, telling them to pour water on the altar and the sacrifice a third time. So he said, Shaleshu, do it a third time. And really, here you've got to use context, because all you know is he's saying do something that has something to do with three. And since context is all about pouring water over the altar, and you say, okay, that's it's referring to doing something a third time. And then Vayishaleshu, he did it. Deuteronomy 19:3, Vayishaleshu, Vashilashta et Gavul Artsakha. Vashilashta et Gavul Artsakha. And do something that has to do with three. Et Gavul Artsakha, the border or the territory of your land. I.e., in context, okay, we're talking about dividing it into three. And 1 Samuel 20:19, Vashilashta Tired. Vashilashta Tired. And do something that has to do with three. Tired, go down. So here to context would say do something on the third day, go down. So shilesh there, it's a verb that has something to do with three, do something with reference to three, but you've got to use context to determine what that action is. Next category, H. Sometimes the PL form has a meaning related to but quite different from the meaning of the Kal form. Compare Chata, he committed an offense, with Chite, he made a sin offering, or he purified. So they both have to do with sin, but quite different meanings. Chala, he was sick or he was weak, with Chala Pane, he appeased, he asked for favor, where it can be a little difficult to see the meaning there. So Chata, he sinned. Exodus 32:31. Chata ha'am hazeh, chata'a gedola. Chata ha'am hazeh, chata'a gedola. Ha'am hazeh, this people, chata sinned. And then we get the noun, chata'a, a sin, gedola, a great sin. So that would be in the kal. Leviticus 14:52 in the PL, v'chite et ha-bayit b'dam ha-tzipor. V'chite et ha-bayit b'dam ha-tzipor. And he shall purify, so reverse the effects of sin, sort of deal with the sin, purify the house b'dam ha-tzipor, with the blood of the bird. So across the page, Psalm 104:17, we had the birds make their nest, Tziporim. Here we got the singular, Hatzipor, with the blood of a bird. I think this is a house that gets mildew. Leviticus 6:19, HaKohen HaMechate Ota, HaKohen HaMechate Ota, the priest HaMechate, so Mem, on the front is makes that a participle, and we've got the article on it as well. So this refers to the one doing that action, the one who is offering, i.e. offering up something to deal with the problem of sin here in the PL. So the priest who offers ota et. Unfortunately, there in English, just translating that, the priest who offers it, there isn't that particular nuance that the particular offering is a sin offering to deal with the problem of sin. Note also the two possible meanings of the noun chatat. Chatat can mean sin or transgression, or it can mean the sin offering or the atonement that is made for that transgression. And there are a few places in the Hebrew Bible where it's actually difficult to know which you're talking about, the sin or the offering to deal with the sin. Chala, he was weak, he was sick. And in the PL, Chila Panei, he asked for favor, he pleaded. Genesis 48:1, Avicha Chole, Avicha Chole. This is where Joseph is told down in Egypt, your father is ill. 1 Kings 13:6, here back to the story of the man of God in Bethel. Chal na et Panei Adonai, Vayichal Ish ha-Elohim et Panei Adonai. Chal na et Panei Adonai, Vayichal Ish ha-Elohim et Panei Adonai. Plead, and then na, there we've got that particle of entreaty. Almost, we could almost say entreat or plead, plead with the Lord. Vayichal Ish ha-Elohim, then the man of God pleaded et Panei Adonai with the Lord. So I don't know why the PL, what the relation is between the Chal and the PL, how they are related with that. You'd look up in a word book to find out. Malachi 1:19, V'ata chalu na pnei el vayichanenu. V'ata chalu na pnei or fnei el vayichanenu. And now, Chalu na pnei el, plead with God. Vichanenu, and we translate the vav there as consecutive, so that he may be gracious to us. Chanan, to be gracious.
Pnei is
face. So pnei Adonai, the face of the Lord, I in his presence, from his presence. The summary then, 8 main categories of usages of the PL. Let's just quickly review those. A, the PL expresses action that brings about a state, so factative. Where the Chal expresses a state, the PL expresses action that produces that state, factative. Category B, when the Chal is intransitive, the PL can be transitive, and again, expresses action that brings something about. So again, it's factative. C, for a Chal verb expresses an action, PL may focus on the result of the action, so resultative, which really is basically the same as factative. D, some PL verbs seem to indicate close or repetitive involvement in an action, so they're a bit of overlap with, we'll see, with a hit-pael. E, declarative, declare what something is. F, actions which have to do with speaking. G, where a verb does not occur in the Chal, but we have it in the PL, and in many instances it's closely associated with a noun, and in fact, usually in these cases, has been derived from the noun. So when a noun gets turned into a verb, typically that verb is in the PL. And we see this happening in English. We don't have the stem system, but we see nouns becoming verbs and verbs becoming nouns, or particularly it's generally that nouns become verbs. That happens quite quickly in English. And then the 8th category, sometimes a PL form can have a meaning somewhat related to the Chal, but with a quite distinct nuance. Okay, so that's give you all a full feel for the PL, and then its passive form is the Pu'al. Section 4, the verb Hillel and Hulal. Hillel, he praised. Hulal, he was praised. So in the left-hand column Aleph, we have PL. Hillel, he praised, third masculine singular. And in the right-hand column, we have the Pu'al, the passive, column Bait. So Hillel, PL, Hulal, Pu'al, Hulal, he was praised, third masculine singular, perfective. Bikesh, Bikesh, he looked for, he searched. Bukash, he was searched for. Shilach, Shilach, PL, he sent away. Shulach, Shulach, he was sent away or cast out. PL, Mehalel, Mehalel, praising. So notice the mem on the front, that's a participle. And Mahulal, Mahulal, the Pu'al participle, praised. Shilesh, Shilesh, he did three times. Mushulash, Mushulash, mem on the front, it's a participle, threefold or triple. It's really meaning that something is done to it three times. So the forms in Aleph are PL, they're active. The forms in Beit are Pu'al, they're passive. Pu'al forms are passive forms of PL. Characteristic first vowel of the Pu'al is kibbutz, a U. So kibbutz are three dots lined diagonally. Bukash, he was looked for, he was sought. I have a couple of examples. Jeremiah 50:20. Yevukash et avon Yisrael. Yevukash et avon Yisrael. Now that avon, you have to treat the vav there as a consonant and then the holom as a vowel going with it. You can't treat the holom vav as a consonant because as a vowel because then you'd have two vowels in a row. Because we've got a composite shava with the ayin. So you have ayin, composite shava, and then we next need a consonant, which is the vav.
Because it's the composite shava?
Well, it's because there is a vowel with the preceding letter, with the preceding consonant. So when a holom vav is a vowel, i.e. the vav is functioning as part of the vowel with the holom, then there wouldn't be a vowel with the preceding consonant. It would be the vowel for the preceding consonant. So yevukash et avon Yisrael, the sin of Israel will be searched for. Ezekiel 26:21, u tevukshi velo timatzi. U tavukshi velo timatzi. You will be looked for. That's a pu'al, but you will not be found. Timatzi is nifal. So both of those are passive. One pu'al, one nifal. Mahalel, pl participle meaning praising, and mahulal, the pu'al participle, praised or worthy of praise. The pl and pu'al participles have a prefixed mem before the stem. We've seen a number of these, and I've generally tried to point them out. Mahulal, praised, 1 Chronicles 16:25. Ki gadol Adonai u mahulal ma'od. Ki gadol Adonai u mahulal ma'od. For the Lord is great and is to be praised, or is worthy of praise, ma'od, very. Ma'od, very, so we'd have to translate it as something like highly. Mushulach, sent away or cast out. Isaiah 16:2. Ke'of noderd kein mushulach. Ke'of noderd kein mushulach. So of is the usual word for verb. We've twice in this chapter seen zippor. Of, well, actually, of is the generic word for anything that has wings. So like bird, noded, fluttering bird, mushulach, put into a state of sent out of kain, its nest, pushed out of its nest, of the nest. Mugudal, mugudal, pu'al participle of gadal, made big or nurtured, Psalm 144:12, kenit nit'im, mugudalim, kinit Te'im Megudalim, like well-nurtured plants. Nata is something that is planted. So like plants that are made big. And Meshulash, threefold, triple, 3 years old. Genesis 15:9, V'ayil Meshulash, V'ayil Meshulash. Ayil is a ram, so a ram, and then that is in some sort of a state having to do with three. And here then, use context to figure out it's 3 years old. Ecclesiastes 4:12, V'hachut ha-mushulash lo bimchera yinatech. V'hachut ha-mushulash lo bimchera yinatek. And a chord, hamashulash, having something to do, that is in some sort of state having to do with three, not quickly broken, but mihira, mahar is something to do with being in a hurry. So bimhira, in a hurry, or quickly, yinatek, broken. So what is there about a cord that can have to do with three? Well, a cord of three strands that are woven. Okay, and finally, section 5, some vocabulary, and then we'll be done with this chapter. Trying to race us, move us through it. Starting at the top right, Yered. Yered, he will go down. Notice the doubled sere pattern. So that's PL, yeah, right? For a verb where the middle letter cannot take a dagesh. Av, father or ancestor. Av, bain, bain, descendant or son. Mi, mi is who, and ma, ma is what. Ba, ba, coming. Now, ba is ambiguous. Ba can be either third masculine singular, he came, or it can be the participle, coming. And the only way you can tell those apart, morphologically they're identical, but context will usually enable you to tell which is which. And they're both in the kal. Ze, ze, this, near demonstrative, and that's masculine. Yad, yad, hand, or that metaphorically strength. Shmi, shmi, my name, so shame is name. Shmi, Rash, Rash, a poor man. Left-hand column, Hishmiach, Hishmiach. Now notice here the prefix, He and Hirek, He, and there's what we call an infix. So we have a prefix at the beginning, a suffix at the end, and then an infix in the middle, and an infix here of the Hirek Yod, between the second and the third consonants. This is a hifil. So guess what the next lesson is going to be about? Hifil. So we're going to get a bunch of hifils now to familiarize ourselves ready for the next lesson. So hishmia, he informed. Now shema, shema is hear, he heard. So hishmia is he caused him to hear. So hifil is causative, to cause somebody to do, so to cause somebody to hear, i.e. to inform them. So Hishmia, I think we'll go down the page. Hishmid, Hishmid, he destroyed. Shamad is to be in a state, destroyed. Hishmid, destroyed. Hoshmad, Hoshmad, and that's a short O. Again, there are no accents here to help you distinguish that, but Hoshmad, that's the passive, he was destroyed, and that we call a hofal. So hifil, and it is active, and hofal is its passive. Both of those will be next week. He'etzin, he'ezin, he listened. The vowel on the front is no longer a hirek, and this has to do with the fact that the next letter is a guttural, so funny things happen, but it still has the infix, the hirek yod infix. So you could identify it as a hifil. Hirea, Hirea, he shouted with joy. Hirea, he acted wickedly. Now notice those are morphologically, they're the same, but they actually come from different verbs. The first one comes from the verb ruach, shout with joy, and the second from the verb ra'ah, to act wickedly. So that can be confusing. Histir, Histir, he concealed. Sitar is to hide, so he caused to be hidden. He concealed. Hera, Hera, he revealed, he allowed to see. Yare, he will reveal. Notice both of these are built upon the verb ra'ah, see. Arar, Arar, he cursed. Yare, Yare, he feared. Mara, Mara, he rebelled. Now, Yare You've got to keep that distinguished from ra'ah, he saw, and yare, he feared, because then ra'ah, which is resh aleph hey, he saw the, it's the third hey, the hey disappears readily. For yare, it's the first yod, and the yod readily disappears. And in both cases, you're left with a resh and an aleph, and then prefixes and suffixes for the verb forms, and it can be easy to confuse them. However, context will often help you there. Re'e, the imperative, see. Raid, raid, go down, imperative. Shuv, return, imperative. These are all kal imperatives. Haya, it was. Yahi, let it be. That's a third masculine singular, jussif. So treat that as like a third person imperative. Let something happen. So we get this quite a few times in Genesis 1. Let there be light. Me'ain, he refused. So that's a PL. Notice the vowel pattern. Histiru, they concealed. So to the left we have histir, third masculine singular. And now we have, here's the third plural with that u ending. Hifil, Yada, he knew. Yarad, he went down. Madua, why or for what reason? Rea, friend, companion, or could be the person next to you. Masha, he drew out, he saved. This is what Moses, the name of Moses, is derived from this verb. Moshe, he was drawn out of the water. Moshe. Die, enough. And if you ever go, you went to a passage, Dayenu. Yes, you'll see you sang the song that has this in it. Dayenu. Az, then. May az. So, since then, or since, or formerly. E is island or coastland. Imagine you're out on the Mediterranean on a boat and it's a thin sliver of land that's on the far horizon. And you don't know whether that's the coast of the mainland or if it's an island. That's an arbitrary distinction for you. So that's what this refers to. So sometimes you'll see this translated as island, sometimes you'll see it translated as coastland. But that's what it is. It's on the far horizon. And then the plural construct, islands of Iye. And the plural will be Iyim, the islands of, or the coastlands of something. Ben, that's a construct, son of. A son on its own, Bain, would have a long E, and Sere, construct, a short E. B, please, odd until Ra, bad. Har is mountain or hill. Shav, he returned. And A is where. Okay, good, we did it. We made it through lesson 15, the PL. And you may not remember all that, but hopefully now you just have a bit of a feel for the PL and the sort of range of uses that it can have. Next week, we will cover the Hifil, and then there's a reading at the end of the chapter. Genesis 37, so the beginning of the story of Joseph. And over the next number of chapters, we'll progressively read through subsequent chapters of the Joseph narrative.